if you like the Dixie Chicks, you'll adore Tessa Snart, Sound and Country Vision birthday celebration, which continues 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. So much to pack into the first anniversary of Sound and Country Vision that they had a second hour. So there we are, not 1 hour, but 2 glorious hours of fun stuff. You can also catch up with Tessa, who might be joining us tomorrow morning as well.
I look forward to that, Tessa.
Very, very exciting. Mm. But even more exciting than that, as we continue with our Scottish world and so on, and head up to the excitement of a band that have occupied a unique place at the heart of Scottish alternative rock in various manifestations since the mid-'80s. The 1980s, not the 1880s. It's all very good. Yeah, we're delighted to say a happy welcome and hi-dee hi once again to the awesome Martin Metcalf. How are you, Martin?
Hi, I'm doing okay, thanks.
Excellent. Of course, if you went for the 1880s, you could have actually gone for a kind of Baroque feel and a kind of...
I would have enjoyed the 1880s. I think that's a time of revolution. I love that.
Exactly.
You know?
Yes. A marvellous time all round, just shortly after the American Civil War. And what else has changed? Oh, well, never mind. A whole heap of other goodies are available if you go to the filthytongues.com website. And in fact, at this very moment, Martin, I have my finger poised over not one, but 2 fantastic buttons. One is controlling the video. Obviously, you can watch it at home. Don't watch it if you're driving in a car. It's going to be dangerous, OK? The other one, of course, is the musical thing we're about to listen to. So tell us about Holy Brothers and your band, the Filthy Tongues, please.
We are the Filthy Tongues. We have been, amongst other things, we've been Goodbye Mr. McKenzie in a band called Angelfish also in the States after the McKenzies, which featured Shirley Manson on vocals just before she went into Garbage. And
she learned everything from your good self, let's face it. She could not have done the theme to The World Is Not Enough if it hadn't been for the time with the Filthy Tongues.
She has acknowledged that, yes, she's learned something from us about, yeah, how bad men are, maybe.
Come now, it's great stuff. So we talked earlier about Lindisfarne and monks and various other bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Is Holy Brothers in the vernacular of some kind of religious mechanism? Is it something to do, as in the Burt Ward incarnation of Robin the Boy Wonder and Batman and Robin and saying, Holy Brothers, Batman? Or, you know, where are we going with this?
Two interesting takes on that. I think really it's just about the brotherhood of young men, basically. When you're young and you're free and you're on your little journey in your early 20s, late teens, it's very much about, you know, the boys and the girls. But, you know, the boys have got, you know, their own kind of little clique as well as taking part in this sort of broader spectrum of society. And it's like what the brothers got up to, you know. We, in those days, in the early 80s, it was all about makeup and
glam rock.
Well, kind of a return to glam. Yeah, there was a return to glam after punk, because punk was like sort of
there are only so many things you can actually do with a safety pin and a bin bag. Let's face it. It doesn't give you the frills.
And a kind of
exactly. But exactly. It doesn't give you the frills and the range of things you can actually have with that whole range of them. Martin, stay with us. I feel it's time we press that button. What say you, Shirley? Are you ready for the Filthy Tongues?
I'm ready. Yeah.
And Holy Brothers, here they come. Round of applause, please.
Wow.
Yay!
Thank you.
And we have so many questions just on the basis of the audio and the video alone. Well, Shaley, would you like to kick us off with the brand of alcohol that was being consumed during the whole routine, whether it was a 12-string guitar? Which one of the filthy tongues is indeed Martin Metcalf? Does he have the beard? Does he not have the beard? So many questions, Martin. Shaley, over to you.
Take it away.
I do have to admit, I am a massive fan of Jura. 10-year Jura.
Good choice of will. Good
my,
choice.
My approval.
Good
there.
Choice of alcohol.
Oh, yeah. Jura. Yeah. That's pretty spectacular, actually. Yeah. Jura. 10-year-old Jura.
Oh,
must be wealthy.
It's the Mackenzie clan, obviously. I'm surprised, you know, the old Scottish
being
connections.
A Mackenzie.
Exactly.
Oh, I see what you did there, Alex.
Carry on.
I was just wondering, the guitar, obviously I don't know which guy you are.
As yet. We'll find out.
I'm the singer. I'm the beardy guy.
He's the beardy guy.
So, was that a 12-string guitar that you were playing?
On the video, no, it was just an electric. But on the track, it was actually a 6-string guitar. But you can do amazing things with software these days, so it probably sounds like a 12-string.
I also got a really... really big, like, sort of U2 vibe from your kind of sound that's going on.
Well, I suppose, a lot of the pianos and whatever are quite drenched in reverb, and, there's, I suppose, you could make a comparison comparison there, but I think it's more that we have the same kind of influences rather than that we were listening to you too when we were creating that track.
Yeah.
So, I think they might have been listening to you, actually.
They may well do that.
And before we actually go into the fantastic gigs that are actually a number of them have actually been and gone, but there's still various other things. You've done the London Hope and Anchor. You've done Brighton, of course, at the Albert. But Stockton Georgian Theatre, yay, the North East, next door to Middlesbrough, twinned with Pyongyang. Sorry, that'll be a
nice twinned, yeah.
Exactly. You're supporting Bricks and the Extricators on the 14th of October this very year, 2017.
Excited about that. And our bass player, Finlay Wilson, who's in that video, the very handsome guy, he's very excited about meeting Bricks. He's a massive, massive Fall fan.
Yeah.
And I like Bricks too. I bought our, you know, Adult Net singles at the time the Fall were happening. So. That's a good one.
Exactly. In fact, if people sort of don't fancy making the couple of miles journey from Middlesbrough to Stockton, you will actually be at Middlesbrough Westgarth Club on the 9th of December 2017.
That's right. We've played there already, supporting Pete Wiley this year.
From the Mighty Wah, of course.
Yep.
Sorry, just a moment.
That's the one, yep. And he was amazing, actually. His voice is still really, really strong, really good. Yeah. So.
Like your own. From the Department of the Trivial, the name The Filthy Tongues, was it because you've just been eating too much licorice, or was it just a case of, you thought, well, let's call us from this point? How did it evolve?
Well, it came from a Mackenzie song. There's a song called Good Are Like Dirty Rags, which was like a song
about...
Because
the Mackenzies have got filthy tongues, Alex.
There we are. Oh, those Mackenzies and their filthy tongues.
For a bit of background, my surname is Mackenzie.
Yeah. Well, if you ever met Shirley, I think that she would really match up to that sort of... The idea that you have there about filthy tongues, yeah, surely we all did that. Yeah. About that though, Big John too.
Exactly.
Not me. I was.
You were well
very
behaved.
Well behaved.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Precisely. So that comes across from the moodiness of the video, as they said. Very good. Whereabouts did you actually shoot it? Actually,
we shot in this place in Edinburgh called the Leith Theatre Town Hall. And at least it sort of attached itself to Edinburgh in the 1920s. Yeah. It wasn't really part. It's like one of these villages that are outside a city and then they become part of. And it's fallen apart. I don't know if you could have a good look at the walls, but they're like the paint's all, you know, crumbling off. And it's going to be renovated. It had all sorts of amazing bands play through the 70s and 80s, and they're going to renovate it. So we're really happy about that.
As those 20th century philosophers, the fine Scottish twins actually once said, there's always going to be sunshine on Leith. Circus of the pajamas.
Yeah.
Exactly. You walk 500 miles and still, but that's...
And when I haver. Yeah.
Oh, when I haver.
I'll be havering to you.
I can see there's going to be a celebrity duet being established before too long. Definitely, Martin. It's awesome from that point of view. I'm sorry using that phrase. I've used it several times. It's always become a cliche. Reminder that you can find out details about The Filthy Tongues on their website, which is the usual 3 W's and thefilthytongues.com. Presumably you've got Facebook and Twitter and various other handles as well.
We're all over it.
So have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, Martin Metcalf?
I've been astounded at the energy. You must be, 18 or 19 years old with all that energy. I'm really kind of blown away by it.
Yeah, well, you
don't
know...
Don't flatter him anymore.
One of us is closer to that particular chronological area than the other people would actually say.
Not it's me, just, Alex.
Yeah, I remember the 1880s, a fine scenario there. So the next critical question, actually, as you're in Edinburgh, we should really look to connect with William Coles, who's our Edinburgh correspondent.
William's going to have his work cut out for him.
He is going to, well, you know. He's
got kiddies.
He can take them along and see the filthy tongues and say, there, that's what good music is all about.
Exactly.
Will you be kind enough to return in the very near future, Martin Metcalf?
Of course.
Yay, that's what we'd like to hear.
I'll be back.
Arnie. Terminator, Arnie, it's just one celebration after another. And how difficult is it to keep the beard in shape? Because, you know, it's something I've always wanted to put to the ZZ Top guys. And ironically, the beard chap doesn't have one. The name, man called Beard, doesn't actually have a beard.
Beards are a pain. Beards are a complete pain, but they're an excellent disguise. You know, you don't really know exactly how handsome I am underneath this, but you can probably guess.
You see, Shaylee, you know, I know you were scared initially by, ooh, the beard person. Now, yeah. You know, opening up a whole range of things.
Scary beard guy.
Martin, it's been fabulous. Take care. Remember the filthy tongues out there and well worth accessing. We'll speak again very soon.
Great. Thank you very much.
Intriguingly titled Alone Again, or by a band called Love, which is a perfect way to introduce the next correspondent, because we always love Arthur Weingarten. How are you, Arthur?
All right. Thank you.
It's always wonderful to connect with a good self. I sense as though it's in a world which seems to be replete with challenging aspects from both North Korea, from Houston, Texas, from the White House and so on. We always know with a little Weingarten wonderment that happiness will prevail. So that's still a good stuff. So no pressure, Arthur, but we're looking for you to actually raise the profile just so wonderfully, etc. As of course, Annette prepares to actually come back over the Atlantic to the joys of Port Merion for a prisoner convention on the 29th of January, of September. You see, I can't even remember the month now.
Yeah, that really, it should be a wonderful event.
It'll be fantastic, and I was so devastated that because I'd already committed to delivering two lectures in the Lincoln Lights science fiction series, the Lincoln Get Hold of Technology and Science, as Shaylee will say last week.
Yes, she told me, what a shame.
But, you know, hopefully we'll connect in some way, shape or form and still the magic will actually happen. Are you coming over as well, Arthur?
Not yet.
No, that's all right. But I think you're going up to the San Diego or Seattle one that's actually there, the prisoner sort of gig that's being arranged in Seattle.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, well, I'll be going there.
They're both going to be wonderful, and you've got a chance to actually say, yes, that Patrick McGoohan, he was such a calm actor and such a calm individual. It's amazing he managed to sort of get that energy around, because, you know, how he actually coped without any alcohol whatsoever. No, only kidding. It's a strange...
Listen, if you singled him out and left all the others, there still wouldn't be a distillery in business.
Well, exactly. But mind, I'm sure he's up there in Heaven FM sipping a... whatever he's choosing to sip now and say, well,
right.
I did...
You know, for all that people talk about, you know, the actors who drink or act, a certain way that, you know, might not be socially acceptable. The fact of the matter is, actors and other people in the entertainment business are not like other people. Mm. And if they were, they wouldn't do something that has a 95% failure record. Mm. You know, mm. A good 95% of whatever you do doesn't appear on the screen or on the airwaves or whatever, or in print. And so indomitable spirit wins out over dumbness, and you just keep going. But the point I'm making about Patrick, because Annette had quite a hard time with him doing The Prisoner, and yet it came off quite well. He directed the segment after screaming at a director on the set in front of everybody, and it just mortified the poor man. But the fact of the matter is that he sold the series that would be even hard-pressed today to sell. If you go in to make a pitch of a group of people with numbers and no names who seem to be enthralled with a large ball that comes out of nowhere and chases you, that's a tough sell. And he did it. He did it. He sold Blue Grade. He sold ABC in New York. The television network, and credit has to be given. He did it.
Possibly, if we're looking for a contemporary equivalent, and I suspect it may well have been influenced by The Prisoner, David Lynch's Twin Peaks could be sort of in that field.
Yeah.
Where I know Phil Lynch, so we're going to speak to in a few moments. So I'll be well. Just it's the best thing ever, and it's inconceivably wonderful. But an awful lot of folk have actually just found it too dense and too packed with allusions, meanings, etc. So they end up being confused and therefore tend to switch off.
You often find that people can't sit and watch TV anymore. They have it as more of background noise rather than they actually want to get into a series and follow the characters' storylines and everything, which is a shame, because there are some really great TV series out there.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. But the industry has not helped itself in that, where Annette gave a talk on radio last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, and I listened to it very carefully, because she, like I, think radio is absolutely marvelous, the theater of the imagination. But when I watch television today, and it even is on Twin Peaks, but far less there, is the music that is made to become a character of the piece. And so when dialogue is going on, or when silence is happening between characters, and yet the editing is such that you're meant to realize something is happening without sound going on, music is there. And it's like being in an elevator in an office building. You're meant never to be alone. The music must accompany you. The world is very frightening, and it will calm you down. And I believe an awful lot of television, usually mostly junk, but some very good stuff, has been harmed by just a mindless use of streaming music.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think if you listen now, maybe if you hadn't thought of this idea, because when I was producing, I worked with the music directors and the editor, the actual film and sound editors, to spot music. It was my idea how it should go, and I'm sure there were others who said, no, you missed the bit. That's not where it should have gone. But I used it so sparingly that when you heard it, it helped to up the piece or to down the piece, whatever we were doing. It was integral to the script itself. Today, it's just streaming wallpaper. You're deadened by it.
One of the advantages, I mean, let's go back to Man from U.N.C.L.E., Girl from U.N.C.L.E. and the 60s series, is you had composers like Fred Steiner, Alexander Courage, and so on, Jerry Goldsmith, of course, who did an awful lot of things, and they would very much feel there was an orchestral backing to those particular areas, which I think worked
absolutely. One of my favorites was Jerry Fielding, who had a jazz background and used a 20-piece orchestra when we used him on lots of shows. And if you looked at the instrumentation, it was incredible. He had flugelhorns in there and all sorts of kettle drums that were African, literally from Africa, with a sound that had a timbre to it that was unlike anything that, you know, came from a snare set. That's gone today. That's gone. An awful lot of music today is bought from libraries and spotted in just like the laugh tracks. So they stream in with the loud laugh. They stream in some piece of innocuous music that comes from libraries in Mexico. You buy it by the yard.
We have had some correspondence from Penny Evans, bless her, as well as letting us know that Lee's tuned in. Hello, Lee. She also liked to respond to our Twin Peaks thing with, "Twin Peaks was incredible!" Exclamation mark. "It was a dream in a dream, dreamed by dreamers in multiple dreams into infinity. End. Don't want another season. Art and creativity won over clear explanations, and I love that." Capital letters.
Interesting.
So clearly it floated our Buxton-Derbyshire correspondence boat there. There you go. It's a win-win situation. Interesting enough, Arthur, on another narrative, i.e. the wonderful text that you wrote, your good self, "The Sky is Falling," I did actually quiz Tessa Snart and her mother how they were getting on with the text, and they're still savouring every word. When they actually said they hadn't quite reached the stage where the Empire State Building has been crashed into as yet, I realised they've got a ways to go. But hopefully, by the time you're back in October, they'll have worked their way through that, and we can, you know, share the wonderment exactly with various other bits and pieces.
Exactly.
So let us progress. I mean, astoundingly, we've got to sort of head off to, still in California, but up to Los Angeles, really, from San Diego to Los Angeles. I think that's right. San Diego is further south than Los Angeles.
We're 90 miles south of LA.
Excellent. Well, we'll be taking those 90 miles and actually jumping up the whole sort of system after we've put those last two questions to you, courtesy of Shaylee McKenzie. Go, Shaylee.
So, Arthur, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
As always, I have. Yes, I have.
Oh, that's great.
Good response. Very good.
Yeah, exactly. Very good response. Yeah. We like it. And can we rely on you in the future?
Yeah, I'm thinking probably...
I'm not moving away from this phone.
Oh, my word.
He's going to be glued to the phone.
This is on your head, Alex. Just realised.
I'm sensing about the whole notion of the actor always waiting for the phone to ring from an agency.
That's right.
One day it'll happen. Don't worry. The magic will work through that. Arthur Weingarten will return. Yay! Actually, when we speak, we'll be heading into the fall season. So, Arthur, as ever a delight. Take care, give our best to Annette, and as I say, we will hopefully keep people appraised of what's happening in Port Marion and more as the weeks proceed. Take care now.
Terrific. Be well. Thank you. Bye.
leave your bonds left unbroken, words left unspoken, and dreams that can never unfold. What have we done? Taken from the latest album by Orchestra Maneuvers in the Dark, entitled The Punishment of Luxury. Which I'm actually holding up in my right hand now, Shirley. There we are. Nice sort of effective line there. And there's also a DVD in there as well. It's like extraordinary. It's the kind of background music I'd like to see Phil Lynas incorporate in terms of his next epic production. Maybe The Truth Is Out There, Two Ancient Mysteries, with lots of spot music in there. Maybe just working our way through that. What say you, Los Angeles correspondent, 80 miles or thereabouts north of San Diego, Phil Lynas?
I think actually it's what have we done, not what have we done, but 18 miles north of San Diego.
80, 80, 80, 80, 80, right. Yes.
Yeah, 80, a couple hours, that's a couple hour drive, but really, it's worlds apart, culturally and geographically so different. Mm. Why are we talking about San Diego?
Because Arthur Weingarten was your official warm-up act earlier today.
But Arthur Weingarten is equal parts Hollywood as he is San Diego, and truly an international citizen of the world.
Exactly. That reveals that he will not have any notion of what we've been speaking about on the show, Shaley. So I'm afraid that Penny Evans' lines, "I wonder what Phil Lynas thought, I'm curious," actually yellow. No, it's a yellow emoji.
That was nice. I love it.
Little Swedish line there for.
Do you know that was actually for a brief period of time when I did stand up comedy. It was at a time, or I hosted stand up comedy shows. It was at a time where we had just introduced in this country the terror threat alert, and it was color coded. And it was so ridiculous because, I figured we're all aware of red, yellow, green, mm-hmm. either because of stop signs, traffic signals, or just Star Trek episodes, right? So why not say we're at threat alert, red alert, right? But instead they had this weird Crayola crayon color scheme for it. And so throughout the stand-up show, I would always announce the latest terror level. And one of the terror levels I said was, we're at I Am Curious Yellow. Mm.
Or indeed, as Private Eye magazine actually has, countdown to Armageddon: 5, 4, 3, 2, un.
Who's the genius behind that one? I think a pay rise is in order.
Indeed.
You mean for having to listen to that, or for saying it?
Whatever dimension you choose that will float your boat, given that Chilpack Hollywood Hour number 538 dealt with the finale of Twin Peaks: The Return, which also coincided with the launch of Dean Haglund's new comedy pop-up, The Hilarium Sydney. So there we are. It's wondrous stuff in that sort of side of things. Shaley, where do you want to take Phil on this magical little 10 minutes or thereabouts that we've actually got? Unless, of course, he comes back and joins us tomorrow morning. I didn't put him on the schedule tomorrow morning, but he's more than welcome. But it will be midnight in Los Angeles.
How come no one's wished me a happy birthday on behalf of the city of Los Angeles? We are celebrating our birthday here in Los Angeles.
Happy birthday on behalf of the city of Lincoln to the city of Los Angeles.
Okay. All right.
Well done. That was.
I feel like that was forced. I don't feel like the part itself was really given. But
Phil, I worked on my method acting. I studied Strasbourg. I kind of went through the whole aspect within that. I was psyching myself up for the whole thing, and now he says it's forced. This is a director like Patrick McGoohan. He can have us in tears, really, from that side.
Answer to the question you didn't ask, we are 236 years old this week. 236 years old. Though, of course, it is a show business town, so we've had work done. I don't think we look a day over 99. Mm-hmm. And, of course, because it's a show business town, we're dating cities much younger than ourselves.
Curious we talk about the city scenario, because as I revealed in the first part of the program, the town of my birth, Middlesbrough, the only Western town, I believe, that's officially twinned with Pyongyang. Back to the 1966 World Cup, as I said, when North Korea effectively beat Italy. In the day. So if you'd like to kind of have a neutral ground for Donald and Kim Jong-un to get together, then maybe Middlesbrough, the northeast, is a place to come.
Oh, my goodness. That's brilliant. I wish I had known that so that I could have filmed something for part two of The Truth Is Out There. It would have been, how hilarious would it have been to, like, go visit the council members in Middlesbrough and ask them to intervene on behalf of the Western world?
Phil, when you come back to the British Isles, I can arrange for you, if you're willing to take that journey 126 miles north of Lincoln and about 160 miles east of Manchester and 250 miles north of London, 130 miles north, south of Edinburgh, to Middlesbrough, we will guarantee that I'll introduce you to a man who'll actually take you around the various sort of areas which actually were frequented by North Koreans back in 1966 and explain why they still love Middlesbrough in Pyongyang.
Wow, that would be fascinating, actually.
Truth Is Out There, Ancient Mysteries 3. Yes, it's a way forward. Yes, I was looking at that. Shaylee, over to you.
So what have you been up to recently, Phil?
So today I just came from the Los Angeles Breakfast Club, where we held a big celebration honoring the 236th birthday of Los Angeles, the director of El Pueblo de Los Angeles, which was the first incorporated settlement in what would become the city, came and spoke to us. And that was terribly, terribly exciting. So that was a big thing. I've started working on a book project.
Interesting.
And
has it got a working title?
Pipeline. It's a true life crime story about a man who at one time was involved in creating the largest pipeline of cocaine from South America into the United States, and then after going legit, was involved in creating the largest water pipeline in the Western United States, and it wasn't until he went legit that he really encountered truly dangerous criminals.
That sounds really interesting, actually.
Every project Phil Lyons gets involved with has the adjective interesting attached to it. It's like a standard done deal, really, because that's the sort of person he is.
We wish some dollar signs would be attached to something.
Yeah,
them,
but it's the art, Phil.
If you
listen to
you're in the wrong industry
exactly,
if you want to make money.
If you listen to last week's show with Louise Harrison, you'll appreciate that. You know, at the end of the day, it's the Harrison hug that's going to be passed through around, as opposed to the.
Oh, I really want a Harrison hug.
It'll happen. It'll happen inevitably. Moving dexterously on from that particular area.
You know what else I did that was fun was this weekend, the reason that we recorded our Chilpack Hollywood Hour a little bit early was I gave a presentation on Sunday night all about Will Rogers, who back in the 1930s was the biggest box office star in the world, the highest paid actor in the world, and who was the leading political wit and commentator in America all throughout the 20s and the 30s. He was read by 40 million readers each week. He published books. He starred in silent films and talkies. And I gave a big presentation on him, and it is amazing how much of his wisdom is so appropriate today. I will just hit you with one little nugget of his when he said, "A fool and his money are soon elected."
I like that, but I'll raise that, Phil, in celebration of our start of the pro show event with Nick Smith, show director of the Harrogate Autumn Flower Show, with "An onion can make people cry, but there has never been a vegetable invented to make them laugh."
I think Harrogate begs to differ.
I think so.
We'll find out on the 15th of September. We'll be
corpsing with the whole system from that point of view. And then, of course, even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there. Nice.
Interesting.
And
well, that's Will Rogers. That's a good one.
I belong to no organized party.
How about this one? I don't know. What is it?
It's like a tennis match.
Go on.
Exactly.
Come on, Phil. Yeah. Come on.
Okay. Never be afraid to go out on a limb.
No.
After all, that's where the fruit is.
Nice.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
What's the one about experience, Lil?
You're bringing Lily Holliman here, extra playing doubles. I'll confirm with that. I'm not a real movie star. I've still got the same wife I started out with 28 years ago. There we are. Another Will Rogers quote there. Shaylee. We're working on that sort of process. By the way, Phil, you've forgotten to congratulate Shaley, who after yesterday's fantastic ceremony at the Cathedral of Lincoln, the City of Lincoln, has now officially become a graduate. She has graduated formally. Everything is there. Shaley McKenzie is now an official graduate of the University of Lincoln.
Wow, congratulations. And that ceremony took place at the Cathedral?
It did. It was actually an amazing experience, very sublime, as the romantics would say.
Nothing
wow.
You can't...
Wow.
Yes.
I'm quite proud to be the owner of a £30,000 piece of paper, which says that I did a thing for the past 3 years.
It's priceless.
Succeeding.
That is very heavy.
That's
very heavy if it weighs £30,000.
Take those giant onions we were talking about, those giant... that suggested pumpkins that we could actually develop to actually help world peace by actually hollowing out the pumpkins to actually float around with. Have you got a quote from Will Rogers you'd like to go for, Shaley?
I like this one where it says, if you want to know how a man stands, go among the people who are in his same business.
Yeah. Profound.
Okay, I'm ready. I have my information. The one that I love the best is, and this is really good for someone who just graduated. So let's dedicate this to all the recent graduates. Good judgment comes from experience, and a lot of that experience comes from bad judgment.
Nice.
And that's one of the reasons why we feel that the midweek drive is such a critical part of the whole graduation week scenario, that if you get a chance to listen to the podcast, if you're not listening live, then seize it. Seize it like you'd carpe diem the day, if he's mixing his Latin and his metaphors.
Or YOLO for my generation.
Carpe the podcast, as we never say.
Yeah, precisely. Okay, moving on from that perspective, we thank Nick Smith, the show director of the Harrogate Autumn Flower Show, William Cole from Edinburgh, Richard Stone from the band of Blue Flame, and Darren Morrissey from Morrissey & Marshall. They'll be actually going on stage now because it's nearly 8 o'clock in Holland.
Nice, very exciting stuff.
So going through that. The amazing episode 4B of Marauder. Amazing. We'll get episode 5 in. It's very confusing because initially I thought, oh, 4, 5, 6. No, some of the episodes are split into two parts.
Two sections.
Oh, nice.
Quite
amazing. Martin Metcalf. With the beard, of course, from the Filthy
and
Tongues.
The
never really got, I don't think the Filthy Tongues answer as to why the band was called the Filthy Tongues was ever really satisfactorily answered. I mean, if he kind of he seemed to wing round that, and the Holy Brothers one. Yeah. Arthur Weingarten, again, who's paved the way for Phil Dearness to hope for. I mean, are you with us tomorrow morning, Phil, or indeed Midnight Los Angeles? Or is it a case of, look, I've just done celebrations at Los Angeles Breakfast Club. You're insane if you think I'm going to be getting up tomorrow morning to actually join Shaley and your good self to actually do the weather forecast. But as ever, it lies with yourself. I mean, Richard Fitzwilliams is going to be talking about God's Own Country, which had a screenplay written by William Coles. Kept that quiet from William.
Oh, well, that's actually very exciting. I might listen to that, but first of all, let me correct you. I wouldn't be getting up tomorrow to do it. I would be staying up today to do it.
unless you had a power nap between...
A disco nap, exactly, which is a nap before the party.
Because it's now it's nearly 11 a.m. in Los Angeles time.
There is so much that's tempting about it, especially because if I do the weather report, I can really... look at the storm systems in the Atlantic, and we can talk about Irma, and I can just quote our president, who has been astounding today in terms of his malapropisms discussing the weather. So as much as I would love to share that, though, why lie?
But Phil, global warming isn't a real thing.
I'm going to be way too drunk, to be honest, so I can't lie about that.
There you have it. And as Shaley, as you rightly said, global warming, it's just a figment of the mass media's appreciation. That's all there is, really. It's not good. Anyway, in case you're wondering, Richard Fitzwilliams back with us tomorrow. Ian Lennox back with us. Eva McDonald, assuming her phone works, will be talking about how Skegness summer work. Tessa Snott will be with us. And we'll be speaking to some fabulous folk, including Sarah Willingham, formerly of the Dragon's Den, and a matter of other sort of elements as well. So that's a tease ahead. Great things happening as far as Siren's concerned, including the Word Perfect team who come up in a matter of moments. Very exciting. But We haven't really spoken about Twin Peaks at all, really. I mean, despite Penny sort of being
it's making me want to go see it now.
See the series, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I would suggest actually that Shaley really needs to watch the first series back in the late 80s to really get kind of appreciate
Yes, watch the series. That's good, but realize that the current series is all about the movie. Fire Walk With Me, and the book, the Lost History, the Secret History of Twin Peaks. Mm. These are the things it directly refers back to. Those are canon, the original series much less so, especially because David Lynch left the series early in the second season. So it's Fire Walk With Me is critically important. Critically important.
Mm. Yeah.
But my essay about the series and about the finale will... in audio form be available on this next week's Chillback Hollywood Hour.
There we are. It says that good neighbours standing shoulder to shoulder and just experiencing the wonderment of that.
That's what good neighbours are for.
Didn't really get into the United States Adventure series. I suppose we did, indirectly, with Arthur's views on music and series and how it's ill used these days.
I was going to make a comment about Jaws, the two foreboding notes that became forever famous.
Oh, cool, that is
you know, I'm worried about your birthplace being Sister Cities with
Pyongyang. Yes.
Because our president, he... instead of being harsh towards North Korea, decided to be harsh towards South Korea. So I'm concerned that Middlesbrough is next.
Well,
really.
Yeah.
I feel like Middlesbrough could fend for itself.
We like to feel so.
If an attack were imminent.
As the Victorian Prime Minister Gladstone said, we are the infant Hercules. It's the infant Hercules, exactly. So, I've always seen it as a kind of 19th century American frontier town after a fashion, including obviously the way the road traffic systems are kind of laid out on a grid map. It's extraordinary.
Is this why you have such a fascination for American frontier culture, Alan?
Clearly, it's been rooted in me for such a long time that genetic combination of Polish, Irish, and indeed being born in Middlesbrough, it was inevitable that I would, that and Star Trek, who knows what could happen. Penny would like to thank you for your input about TP, that's Twin Peaks, and she appreciates it. So there we are.
I appreciate, Alex, you taking us on this wagon train to the audio dimensions.
Mm. Thank you, Phil.
When did the radio show end? I feel like it ended 20 minutes ago.
We haven't had the last two questions. We're going to do them now. Shaley, right. Please deliver them.
Phil, my darling Phil, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
I'm so glad you asked if I enjoyed it rather than did I have a reasonably interesting time, because we've already thrown interesting under the bus and there was nothing reasonable about it, but I had a ball. I hope anyone listening did. I feel like that sound I kept hearing was people changing the channel, but I had a great time.
Yes. And will you be back again next week?
Or tomorrow?
If you'll have me, I have nowhere else to go.
Oh, that's, it's like Richard Gere in An Officer and a Gentleman. It's honestly, it's just it's wondrous. One of these days we'll actually be talking about City of Angel and Wings of Desire, and we'll move into Wim Wenders, and it'll be just extraordinary. Phil Linus, we salute you. Take care.
Yes, and you.
And let's all say farewell. In the sense of the word, farewell. A one, two, three, farewell.
Farewell.